This is Bram Floria. Friends, I've been thinking a lot recently about our place in history. As you and I share this moment together, there are unique and special things that God wants to share with us that are truly new. We have amazing opportunities in our generation that those before us simply did not. We get to see the Great Commission in action like never before. We get to be part of fulfilling it in ways that have never before existed through our special outreach projects. Friends, God is constantly reminding us that this is our time, and we must act while we have the time to act. This year is a challenging one in this world, there's no doubt about that. And it's a challenging season for Compassion Radio, too. We face a summer financial challenge that we simply can't ignore. Thankfully, the deficit is lower than in some other years in our history, but we still must address it. For the first 70-plus years or so of this ministry, Wilbur and then Norm firmly believed that God would provide through his people and that God would bless our partners for doing so. If there was ever a shortfall, they would simply put it before you, our dear friends, and then leave it in the Lord's hands. So I'll simply do the same. Compassion Radio has never been a passive, self-focused organization. We've always been about challenging, inspiring, and motivating people like you to get involved with what God is doing here at home and around the world. Can I count on you right now to step up in 2019 to make sure that Compassion Radio can continue to be that kind of ministry, and hopefully for a long time to come? We know that we're unique in the world of Christian radio, and hopefully in a very refreshing way. So thanks for how you will refresh Compassion Radio with your prayers and financial support today and in the days to come. We love you, friends. And we look forward to hearing from you soon.
Today on Compassion Radio.
This really resonates with me about the issue of how many people have fallen away from the faith when they fall out of a cheap grace or a legalistic-based grace, which is an oxymoron. But how many people come up to the church and have done everything right? They've been the rule followers. They have been moral people. They've been dependable. They've been upright. They've been worthy. And then something rocks their world that shatters their faith. Not just that bad things happened, but that bad things happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly they're in a crisis.
Welcome back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Today, Bram and his wife Sandy continue with their weekly study in the book of Acts called Chasing the Word Together. This is Frank Montenegro. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 11. And here's Bram and Sandy with part one of that study.
Honey, welcome back to the middle of the book of Acts.
It's good to be back.
At the rate we're going, it could be a number of months before we're done, and that's a good thing, I think.
It could be.
Because we've taken a lot of time on each of the chapters and explored not just what's being said in the chapter, but what it meant for the people who were experiencing it. You and I both know that people, they're experiencing the book of Acts in a fresh way in all kinds of countries around the world.
Mm-hmm. It's good for us to unpack all of this stuff so we can lay it out on the table and see what it really looks like.
Let's do that right now. And the book of Acts chapter
11.
To recap from chapter 10, all kinds of interesting stuff has been happening along the coast of Israel. And it has a lot to do with the way God has chosen to reveal himself. I've been thinking a lot this past week about how God chooses to interact with his people when he reaches out to do something new, how disruptive it can be. Just this past week, we had some of our regular visitors out here on the farm. The folks from the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons come by here frequently to visit with us. And it's part of their doctrine to visit as many homes as possible within their geographical area. In that regard, they're missional. And they have in their sights being able to have a conversation with every single person possible in their lifetimes. It's not such a bad motivation. Of course, we as people might be tired of being visited like that. And I assume people who don't know about Christ sometimes feel that same way about Christians. If they start talking about that Jesus stuff, it could be pretty crazy. But the thing that kind of occurred to me with this last visit was the question came up in our discussion out there on the porch about whether or not God can reveal himself directly to people.
Yeah.
It's obvious that there's evil in the world, and it doesn't take long to find examples of evil.
You don't have to look very far, for sure.
No, not at all. We're not just talking about the news. Just look around your neighborhoods. You probably know something has happened that is obviously not good, that came from an evil heart. Yet the question turned around about whether or not God can intervene or intercede or interject himself into the situation in a way that's meaningful. I believe it's possible because I believe I've seen it many, many times.
We have seen it for sure.
And the Bible says that he does something that's miraculous. It means he showed up. Just the fact that God is there, that we're aware of his presence, is miraculous. So the last few chapters have been about God miraculously displaying his power and his intentionality to the people that believe him and to those who don't.
Well, he's shaking them to their very core. Yeah. He is testing the limits of their willingness to step out in faith and trust that he has a plan to redeem the whole world and not just their small world.
So my question would be, does God think big? I guess from our perspective, anything God thinks has got to be big because he has the entire history of the universe in mind. And the universe itself is just one of his creations, possibly.
So that's a rhetorical question.
Yeah. But from our perspective, it's good to ask that because we have to ask about what kind of God we have. Mm. Who are we really serving? Is it a God who is locked in a box of our own making, or is he creative? Is he willing to do whatever he wants to do his way and invite us to catch up with him?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the kind of God we serve.
Well, and it shows us through these scriptures that there is nothing and no one that God cannot redeem and cannot reach, even if it's outside of our own understanding. Even if we look at something and say, that is not a redeemable situation, or that person is not redeemable or savable, or that ideology is not redeemable, we look at that with human eyes.
Yeah.
I think God is saying here, no, I can redeem what I want to redeem.
Yeah. I don't think God redeems ideologies. I think God redeems people.
Mm-hmm.
And he is not an ideology. He is a person. Mm-hmm. And he invites us into a relationship. Mm-hmm. But the very fact that he is a person, in our understanding of a being that has a mind, a will, an intellect that's far beyond ours, means that we have to respond to him as a real being, mm-hmm. not just as a set of ideas or abstracts.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Coming up next, more with Bram and Sandy Floria as they chase the word together here on Compassion Radio.
When God says go, his presence goes with you.
My father was a radio broadcaster. He actually started the ministry that we have. He, in essence, passed it down to me, and we've been able to carry it forward, although we have now changed the focus of the program from essentially devotional now to much more in terms of the global mission of the church, what God is doing around the world, and bringing back those stories.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. We have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478. Or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
I don't think God redeems ideologies. I think God redeems people.
Mm-hmm.
And he is not an ideology. He is a person. Mm-hmm. And he invites us into a relationship. Mm-hmm. But the very fact that he is a person, in our understanding of a being that has a mind, a will, an intellect that's far beyond ours, means that we have to respond to him as a real being, mm-hmm. not just as a mm-hmm. set of ideas or abstracts. Because if we treat God like he's something to be debated, it's like sitting in the middle of a room while your kids debate about you as if you're not there.
Right.
God's in the room, friends.
Right.
And when we talk about these things from the Bible, he's saying, look at what I did. Look at what I do. Look at what I'm doing. Look at what I will do. Mm-hmm. This is what it means to be the great I am, I mm-hmm. think. He's always active, mm-hmm. and he's very eager for us to know it.
And we certainly want him to be in the middle of these conversations.
So for a quick recap of what he did in the last couple of chapters, God has rocked the boat a bit for those believers coming out of Jerusalem that have already seen him express himself in power. The whole experience of Pentecost has changed everything about what it means to obey God and what it means to follow Christ. they've discovered a power that they were promised but never really understood until it happened. Mm-hmm. How many of our experiences are like that?
Right.
We really didn't know what it meant or didn't get it until it happened to us. So they're acting differently, but it still has never occurred to them until these last couple of chapters that God may be doing something new like this in people they thought were impossible to reach.
Right.
Namely, all of the pagans and Greeks that are out there in the world. And now God has said, I have shown favor on people like Cornelius and his family. In fact, I'm going to send you with a message to Cornelius, and the message is going to save them. Mm-hmm. He's already told Peter this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. So Peter obeys and goes, and it was because of that awfully strange dream he had. In this chapter 11, we're going to recap that as he explains it to his friends back up in Jerusalem, who are now all up in a tizzy about it. Weird stuff's happening that even they can't explain. So let's jump right in.
Well, news traveled fast, and soon it reached the apostles and the believers living in Judea that non-Jewish people were also receiving God's message of new life. When Peter finally arrived in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers called him to task and said, Why did you stay in the home of people who aren't Jewish? You even ate meals with them. Peter explained what had happened, saying to them, One day when I was in the city of Joppa, while I was praying, I fell into a trance, and I went into what seemed like another realm. I saw in a vision something like a linen tablecloth descending out of heaven, being let down by its four corners, and it got close to me. As I examined it, I saw many four-footed animals, wild animals, reptiles, and wild birds, and then I heard a voice that said to me, Get up, Peter, kill and eat them. I said, I can't do that, Lord. I have never eaten anything that is forbidden or impure according to the Jewish law. The voice spoke to me again, saying, Nothing is unclean if God declares it to be clean. This vision repeated itself three times, and then suddenly it was snatched back up into heaven. At that very moment, three men from Caesarea who had been sent for me approached the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to go with them with no questions asked. These six brothers here with me made the trip, and we entered into the home of a man who had sent for me.
Cornelius told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house saying, Send word to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought to you here. He will bring you a message by which you will be saved. You and all your household will experience this. When I began to speak, I love this, when I began to speak, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as he did on us at the beginning. Then I remember the word of the Lord, how he used to say to us, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave Gentiles the same gift as he gave us after we accepted and believed and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to interfere or stand in God's way? Now when the brothers heard this, they quieted down and glorified and praised God, saying, Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance that leads to eternal life. That is real life, even after earthly death.
Look what God did.
Yeah.
The translation that I was reading says.
I love this because it is so obvious that God is rattling everything that we know to be good. Think about Peter's objection. The Holy Spirit has said, Peter, get up, kill, and eat. He's telling him to break a number of these kosher laws. And these laws included which animals you could even touch, which animals you could even kill, which animals you could even touch the blood of, and which animals you could eat. All kinds of laws in there. He's broken all of them in this vision. And he repeats the vision three times, which is saying, God is saying this, I have testified, I have testified, I have testified, I have testified. It's me talking here, Peter. Obey. And Peter's response is to do what the law tells him to do. No, Lord, I would never do such a thing to offend you. How often do we get in situations where we absolutely know in our hearts that something is a sin? And then God puts us in a situation where the thing we think is so bad suddenly becomes the opportunity to love somebody. Or to do the obedient thing, and we don't know what to do. I like that God gave Peter his obvious next step. As soon as the door knocked, he was ready to go.
Go with him.
When he was shaken from this vision, he was ready to obey. But there's still a place where in the heart and in the mind, there was a big decision to be made. Was he going to be an obedient follower of Jesus and his Holy Spirit? Or was he going to be a faithful follower of everything he's ever known before?
Mm. Well, Peter had already shown himself to be a rebel over and over.
Yeah.
So I think he was already set up to be a rebel in this situation, a rebel to the law.
Yeah.
He had put himself out there a number of times. I mean, we see him even throughout the time he walked with Jesus. Peter was the one who jumped out of the boat. You know, Peter was the one who chopped off the ear of the servant, Malchus. Peter was the one who then denied Christ. But then Peter was also the one who stood up at Pentecost and was the boldest. So I think that that's Peter's personality.
Yeah.
Like you always say to our kids, you know, sin bravely so we can fix things. So we'll know what's going on here. So we can fix it. So
now,
we
that may take some time to explain.
Right,
a bit.
Right.
We're not talking about something that is immoral.
If you're going to mess up, if you're going to make a mistake, make one so that it's a safe place to make it, so that you can see the error of your ways and fix things.
Yeah. Get better at these things.
Get better at them. Yes.
This really resonates with me about the issue of how many people have fallen away from the faith when they fall out of a, I would say, cheap grace or a legalistic-based grace, which is an oxymoron. But how many people come up to the church and have done everything right? They've been the rule followers. They have been moral people. They've been dependable. They've been upright. They've been worthy. And then something rocks their world that shatters their faith. Not just that bad things happen, but that bad things happened to them. And suddenly they're in a crisis. If I was obedient, if I was following God, if I was doing all these things right, why did this happen? And that question has been asked for centuries.
Oh, yeah.
Why do bad things happen to good people? I think the more realistic question is, why does anything good happen to anybody? It's because of God's grace. But nonetheless, when you're experiencing that, you have a crisis of faith because your faith is not really built on Jesus. It's built on your sense of worthiness. I know plenty of people that have gone through incredible suffering even the past couple of years that are wonderful, godly people. And you wonder, why do they have to suffer like this? We ask this all the time about people overseas that we get to meet in our travels that are literally suffering for the cause of Christ just because they say, I'm willing to die for him and for his name alone. Whether you think it makes any sense or not, they're willing to die for it. It makes no sense to me why they would have to be put to that test. And yet God says, that is the kind of suffering I'm going to allow them to go through. You know, these are really good questions to ask, but they're really also very important questions to answer. Because if they get left dangling out there and left without resolution or without hope, people do, in fact, not find their way back.
Well, I think we've seen in recent years the statistics of people leaving the church are staggering.
Yeah.
I think largely in part to the legalism that many of them grew up under. You and I grew up differently in the church. I grew up in a very legalistic church, one that really emphasized following the rules and making sure that all of your T's were crossed and I's were dotted. All of the steps were taken. The prayers were said exactly right. That became a crisis for me in adulthood when I began to seek more freedom in Christ. And I think many people are going through that in waves and waves right now. I mean, I feel very fortunate that I landed in a place where there were people surrounding me that were godly people that were able to tamp down the fires and talk me off a ledge, if you will, and in some ways that kept me from wanting to leave the church. And I know you and I had discussions years ago about those kinds of things in the early days of our relationship, how I was fed up. In recent years, beginning to look at the church in such a way that I'm fed up with that sort of thing again, but in a different way, in a way that saddens me, that I see this happening in our culture. The brothers in Jerusalem, if you will, are looking down and saying, what is wrong with you? You're not following the rules. You're not keeping the law. And having to explain ourselves over and over, we're not keeping the law because we have found such freedom in what God himself is showing us. We can't help.
We're not a law unto ourselves.
Right.
We're a law of love now and under one. I think part of the shattering that's happening right now is the wholesale absorption of our faith into politics. And this generation seems to be more pronounced than ever, which has polarized a lot of people of faith. Some people will say it's never a good thing to involve yourself with politics because that becomes your false god. They're probably right. On the other end, people would say don't ever engage in the things of this world at all. Don't even try to be involved with politics at all. because you want to stay godly and separate from the world.
Completely separate.
That's got its problems too. If you don't engage with people who are actually of an evil world, you'll never see anything change. You'll never see God do miraculous things in people's lives like he's been doing in you. I think there's probably three groups of people that are hearing this program today. One is people that have been good all their lives and are growing up born again, they say, that understand the culture of Christianity and probably evangelicalism at large and are very comfortable there and want other people to be comfortable with it too and wonder why anybody would be offended by it.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be others who are very activist oriented. And of course, we work with a lot of activist people because they're doing things. And they might be very hot on a particular issue and a zealot for Christ in certain ways that by nature will alienate some people and will draw others to them, to their cause.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's probably a third group of people that listen to this saying, what has happened to our home?
Mm.
I feel like it's being torn apart by either zealots or people who are just saying enough with it and running away. How do I bring this church back together? How does my church, how does my body, how does my family heal?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just hurting. I think those three groups of people are pretty much predominant now in America.
Mm-hmm.
And probably for a good reason. It's come to us because there's been a shattering. I say that not just the sense of politics entering into the very midst of our tent, but how much sin has come to light in so many corners of Christendom in the past few years.
Yes.
We can't escape the fact that people have been deeply hurt and abused and alienated. And others looking from the outside say, that is horrendous. And I can't help but think about Jesus' words that if you harm these little ones, it's better for a millstone to be wrapped around your neck and you suck to the bottom of the sea or that you'd never been born.
Mm-hmm.
God cares for his children. But it also goes back to the question, what happens to people's faith when bad things happen?
Mm-hmm.
Bad things are going to happen, and not just by natural causes, but because of sin. You don't have to look very far to find the sin, even within our own camps.
Right.
Our job, I think, is to take seriously Jesus' words on how to love people as he loved. We can be right about everything. We can have all the best theology. We can have all the best doctrine. We can have all the best answers.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't have any love, then we're nothing but a brass band or a trash can rolling down the street.
Yeah, it's useless.
I don't want to be useless in this life, and I don't want going to church to be something that's just filling time. I don't want to be on the radio and just filling time either.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be connecting with people of purpose who want to know God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we spend a little bit of time here doing some spiritual formation on this program, as well as talking about the news of what God is doing around the world. We'll keep doing that for that very reason. I think at least a day a week, we ought to be tithing our time that way and paying attention to his word.
Right.
Let's turn back to the scripture to wrap up this particular episode. We're talking about the distinctives about this encounter. Now, Peter has recounted what we've already been told once or twice in the previous chapters. He describes it in a certain way to his friends in Jerusalem, and he's very gentle about it. They're ticked because they think everything is coming loose at the seams. You can't leave Jerusalem. Something bad's going to happen out there. And sure enough, Peter's been turned. He's turned into a pagan in a week and a half. They probably feel that way.
Maybe
I mean,
so.
He's already, who knows what he ate when he was down there? They serve him lobster for all we know? We don't know what happened to him. He's got to account for what's going on down there. And when he says that God himself showed up and blessed these people with his own spirit and indwelled them, their response is really important. They calmed down. They listened carefully and contemplated what Peter was telling them. And then they let God flip the switch to a new channel and they praised him for what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see this be happening in the church at large.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio, first, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.